Welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, your host, with my mate Phil Smith, other host, the good man himself.
G'day, mate. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to hang out.
Let's do it.
Like your new haircut.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Getting ahead of things there. It's good.
Well, anyway. Maybe we could be on the same page.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you've always been a bit of a follower, so there we go.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll take it as a compliment.
What are we into today, buddy?
Well, we're talking about how, trades and contracting business owners, I mean, they're naturally cautious people, and that can work out pretty well sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes we don't want to hire early. Sometimes we don't want the extra wages. We don't want office costs. We don't want marketing expenses. We don't want systems and software subscriptions. We struggle to see the benefit of managers or an office team. So solution seems simple. You know, we'll keep our overheads low, back to that cautious nature. But you know, here's the catch. When you only focus on minimizing costs, you don't hire the people you need. You delay the systems and structure. You try to do everything yourself and your business capacity stays small, right?
Yes. And suddenly you're running a business that's very cheap to run, which is great. But it's actually impossible to grow, and you pretty much create a cage that locks you, that you lock yourself in, because you're the one stuck doing everything, or certainly carrying all the responsibility. And so it's one of those, there's a lot of things in life which are kind of counterintuitive, and it feels like saving your way to wealth is a good approach, but really it's pretty slow and tough way to do it. So I think we really need to dig into why overheads are important, what they're about, how to do it properly, because they are a very, very critical part of growing not only a profitable business, but one that's fun for you to own, one where you can have a great lifestyle, because that's what it's all about, really. It's, creating a business that helps you get what you want out of your life rather than something that's just, is just tough for you to run.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Winston Churchill once said that, taxing a company into economic prosperity is like standing in a bucket and trying to lift yourself up by the handles. I feel like, saving your way to wealth is the same thing, right? You're deep in that bucket, you got the handles, but it's going nowhere. And this actually reminds me of a story you were telling me about that bridge. Do you want to kick in?
Yeah. So this is pretty funny, actually. In 1940, in the state of Washington, they built a bridge which was meant to be like an amazing piece of engineering, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And it was the longest suspension bridge in the world at the time, I think. But there was a problem. So
there's always a problem.
Yeah, bridges are not cheap to build.
No, not usually.
And so to keep the cost down, the engineers made some design choices to reduce the materials, keep the budget really tight. So instead of a deeper, stronger structure like previous bridges, they used a much sort of narrower and lighter structure. So it saved money. It looked amazing. But almost immediately, once it opened, some strange things started happening. So when the wind picked up, this bridge actually twisted and bounced in the wind, like it moved, and they nicknamed it the Galloping Gertie. That was the name of the bridge.
Great name.
Yeah, that's right. So cars would drive across the bridge, and they'd pretty much surf the bridge span, because it was moving up and down.
That's
so
what you want out of a bridge, right?
Yeah, it makes you feel pretty safe, right?
Yeah, definitely.
The engineers knew it was unstable, but fixing it properly was a whole, major redesign and a whole bunch of cost. And before they could even get on with that in November 7th, I think, 1940, the winds were about 40 miles an hour. The bridge began to shake violently and twist, and the oscillations got bigger and bigger, and what do you know? It just tore itself to bits and fell into the harbour. The whole central span is in the water. Obviously not much of a bridge. Luckily, no one died. There was no cars involved, which is, that's a bit of a blessing. But anyway, so this brand new bridge, which was meant to, last for generations, basically was destroyed because it was done on the cheap.
Yeah.
That's something that can happen to our business as well. We've got to be very careful that we design it for success. And if we don't want to spend and invest and understand the nature of overheads and what they're all about, then we can pretty much create a business just like this bridge. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's a tempting thing to do at the time, right? And I think sometimes we're making those little mental trade-offs in our head and thinking, hey, I could save a buck here, I could save a buck here. How bad could it be? How bad could this actually go? But reality is you need to be a lot more forward-thinking and really think about the impact that infrastructure would have if you had it, which is really what we're digging into today. So, if we get this wrong and we don't invest in infrastructure, we run into some problems.
I mean, the key thing is that at the end of the day, if you don't build infrastructure, and overheads do build infrastructure, that's people, systems, plant, equipment. If you can't invest in that, pretty much you end up doing everything. That's the long and short of it. So the business can only grow as fast as you can work, and you become a bottleneck through which everything must pass. And it doesn't matter how good you are, there is a point at which you can't do any more. And if you have to work at full throttle for years and years and years, most people end up blowing up and running out of energy. So it's
pay for the infrastructure with money, but you pay for the lack of it with your time and your effort and your energy. And
that affects your family and your relationships and your fun and all that stuff.
And actually your money too, which is great.
Well, it does massively, yeah. And I think, so what happens then is the capacity of your business stays small. You're kind of like just a small business that really just chugs along from year to year. You can never really scale. You can never really grow. You can't take on bigger jobs. You kind of can't handle more leads. And often you actually struggle to provide a good service for your clients because you're kind of at max capacity all the time, and basically things fall through the cracks. The upshot, I guess, is you burn out. You know, you just run out of steam. You have to build a business to get the lifestyle you want from a business. If you've just got you and one or two other people running around, you are the business. Even if you've got four or five people and you're managing them all and doing all the pricing, you're still the business. And that's tricky. So a cheap business often leads to a very expensive lifestyle in terms of the cost for you.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think the real big thing here is, while it's scary and we understand how people run into these problems, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, if we think differently about this stuff, there's some pretty bright opportunities on the horizon.
There is. And the first thing is, you have to have capacity to grow. And so investing in overheads helps you create capacity. It gets the right people in your business, the right systems, jobs can run smoother, clients get a better service, you can handle more work. And it allows you to grow a bigger business, which means you can make more money. I mean, you know, if you want more money, you have to do more work, pretty much, to a point. Obviously, you can price work and make a bit more margin, but that's not the massive increase over time.
Well, growth is the, you know, sort of force multiplier on
that's
that,
right?
Because
that's right.
If you improve your margin at a small size, well, that's cool. You get a gain out of that. But if that same improved margin at a bigger scale is a lot more money, right? So, like, it's that leverage that you're looking for.
Yeah, leverage is the big part of it. And you can create a business that can work without you. And we've talked on the pod many times that the definition of a business is a commercial profitable enterprise that works without you. So if you don't invest in overheads and build structure, it's never going to work without you. It's going to be you.
Yeah,
that's the big problem here. And so your stress will drop. You can delegate work. You can get other people to lift the load and build a team and a good culture to support you. And I guess the thing that people forget at the head of it is your business becomes scalable and becomes saleable. You know, if you don't invest in growing the structure of your business, you can never sell it because it's not worth anything because it is just you.
Well, if I bought the business off this guy, then I'd be buying his shitty job, which is not actually very attractive, right?
Yeah, you think maybe you've got a business with four tradespeople, technicians, and yourself, and you're making some, you know, you might be making a reasonable profit, but who's going to pay you money for that? At the end of the day, if you want to stop doing it, you're going to have to shut it down and hope you can get your employees a job somewhere else. Versus if you build systems, you can actually sell this thing to someone else and realize value from all the equity, that the sweat equity you put in, turn into actual equity and bank some money. And the funny thing is, you know, private equity firms who do invest in businesses, when they go into a business, often they're like, hey, you need to spend more on overheads. You need to build more structure here because this business isn't that solid at the moment.
Yeah.
So the experts in understanding scalability and saleability understand that this is a key part of what you need to do.
Yeah, and you could think that maybe they're wrong, but trust me, they probably know a bit more,
more than the average job.
They do this for a job, right?
That's right.
Yeah, all right, cool. Well, hey, let's dig into this, man. Like, where should we start?
Well, I think maybe we should talk about what overheads are for a start.
That's a good point.
Now, overheads are costs of running the business that aren't directly related to doing the job. You know, so, you know, pay your technicians' wages, your tradespeople's wages, they're not overheads. But, you know, maybe your office person is an overhead, your estimator, your rent, you know, power, accounting, marketing, all that sort of stuff. That's your overheads. It's kind of the cost of running the business. It's not the, you know, have to buy the materials and that sort of thing. So it's not your wages on the tools out in the field or the materials. It's everything else. The thing is, overheads aren't the enemy. Bad overheads are the enemy. You don't want to spend money on stuff that doesn't count. But good overheads are actually the engine room of growth. You know, so if you want to grow, you have to increase your capacity. And overheads help you increase your capacity. So it might be, hey, I need an admin person to come in, an office manager to do the, you know, maybe the reception, answer calls. As you grow, you might put some CSRs in there. And so they do all the invoicing, chase up debts, pay the tax, sort out all the paperwork and stuff so you don't have to. So then you can focus on more important things which make more money, like that might be finding more work or building some better systems in the business or leading the team. So they increase your capacity.
Well, I think one thing on the increased capacity there as well, dude, is like sometimes we think, well, it'll increase my capacity to do other things. Sometimes it is that, and that's what we're really looking for. But I think sometimes if you've actually, you know, waited a bit too long, you've been apprehensive to do this, sometimes it doesn't necessarily increase your capacity. It just takes you from 200% back down to 100. Yeah. And so actually the capacity that you get is to actually sustain your energy and your drive in the business. And sometimes like you actually might need to add one, like maybe more than one role to actually get capacity where you can now work on the business again. But, you know, I think sometimes we're looking for that added, now I can work on the business more. But actually, I think if you've waited too long on an overhead hire, for example, this might actually just bring you back to a point where it's like, you can actually handle your life again. You can get energy for your business again. And that's capacity in itself. So I think like this can look different at different times, but either way, it's the same problem. It just appears in different forms.
Yeah. So that's you know, your enjoyment of life is related to having appropriate because otherwise you're completely tapped out.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. And this the big mindset trap is, I mean, there's a fear thing here, isn't there? You fear actually spending this money and it's not going to come to fruition. That's kind of at the root of a lot of this. So that's one thing. Overheads don't make money. That's the mindset we have. But the trouble is, if you don't have them, you can't make more money. What they do is, they may not be directly related to money in the sense that, you know, I don't bill my estimator out or I don't bill my office person out. But what they do is they unlock revenue and profit. That's the key.
And actually at an exponential rate.
That's
whereas
right.
If you look at like adding tradesmen, for example, yeah, they unlock revenue, but they unlock revenue at a pretty linear rate. Like each tradesman might, you know, only be able to add sort of $25,000 to $35,000 worth of revenue per month, which is great and that's awesome. And with every tradesman you get the same amount. But if you look at this, it's like, let's say an estimator, let's say you're pricing 20 hours a week, and let's say you win, I don't know, $100,000 worth of work per month. You bring someone on, they're pricing 40 hours a week. Now you can win $200,000 worth of work per month. And if you think about that, that's an extra $100,000. If you got a 40% GP on that, that's $40,000 per month in profit that you did not have because you did not have the pricing capacity. Not to mention they probably also price more accurately because it's their whole job. They're not split in other ways. You probably get a slight lift in your GP and you can attack more work, which means you can bring on more tradesmen and, you know, the whole thing is less stressful and you're not doing it. So you win like five times over, but also that was a huge increase in the ability to earn money. You look at like an ops manager. Sure, an ops manager is an overhead, right? Like they're not out there earning money, but an ops manager allows you to handle way more tradesmen than you had before, which actually means that each one of those $25,000 to $35,000 tradesmen that was going to bring your revenue up, you know, with just you might have been able to add one before you were tapped. Whereas with an ops manager, you could add another four, five, you know. And so I think the thing is there is they're an exponential multiplier of revenue and profit, even though they seem like they don't make money, which is crazy. Even an admin person, same deal, right? Like you bring on an admin person, you can handle more work now because you're not bogged down in all of the back end of actually getting that work done. You know, whether it's pushing out more marketing if you're smaller, or, you know, it might be scheduling, it might be more invoices that you can get done in a faster way. It could be like responding to inquiries faster. You know, all of this stuff actually does generate revenue and profit. It just doesn't seem like it on the surface.
The question to ask isn't, does this role produce revenue directly? The question is, does this role increase the amount of revenue the business can generate?
Yeah.
And that's really what we're driving at. And if it can, then that's an investment. It's not a cost.
That's right.
And so we have to reframe our idea of overheads from cost to investment. And, you know, even in our business, we monitor this. And at times we find our, you know, profit margin is actually going up and we're like, well, this is good. Then we're like, actually,
This is bad
because we are starting to get over capacity and we're going to start having a difficulty delivering the kind of quality service that we want to our clients.
Hmm.
So we need to spend some more money to build the capacity.
Well, it's funny actually, you know, after, you know, we've dealt with thousands, tens of thousands of trades business owners. And it's funny, two things come up really consistently. Number one is their accountants telling them, you need to decrease your overhead.
Oh, my God, don't get me started
Dude,
on that.
Oh, I had one guy said, his accountant said, you know, if you sold some of your vans, you'd bring in some extra cash. I was like, what the hell? Like, what, how's he going to do jobs, man?
Are you going to take a horse?
Yeah, you're going to like carry a rickshaw, all your tools to site? Like, what the hell? Like, anyway, point is like, don't listen to that. But the real key with that, the first theme is that I haven't seen pretty much any trades business owners come across my desk where they've actually been overspending on overheads, ever. If you're listening to this, I guarantee you're not a frivolous spender on entertainment. And you're not overspending on rent. You need that rent so that you've got a big enough premises to churn out enough work, you know, carry enough stock, all that kind of thing. You're not overspending on office wages. You need these people to actually, you know, generate revenue. So I think the thing is it's very unlikely you're overspending. I think the other big thing that I see is just the fact that, you know, again, you'll get someone who gets to a really profitable point in their business and they're like, hey, I'm making really, really good money, and that's great. But you can have that same effect like we were talking about, where they're actually making way more money than they should be at that point. And then I'll always ask, like, how's life, man? And they'll say, well, you know, it's pretty busy. And I'll say, how busy? And they say, well, look, we're making really good money, but I am working 80 hours a week. And I'm like, well, what are you doing heaps of? And they'll say, well, I'm probably, you know, spending most of my week pricing now. And I'm like, do you have an estimator? No. I'm like, well, this is why you're making too much money at the moment, dude, because you are pretending that you are free labor to do two jobs.
Yeah.
That's why. So, you know, the reality is you've hyperinflated your profit to a point because you're underinvesting in infrastructure. And the hard part is, like, not only are you doing that now, but you cannot grow past this point because you simply do, you're already doing two jobs. You can't do three, dude. So this is where it ends.
And it's very dangerous because at that point, you will be absolutely tapped out and there'll be other parts of the business that are starting to fall apart if they haven't already.
100%.
It might be your margins, and then your margins will suffer because of disorganization. Then the clients will get frustrated and then you'll start to have cash flow problems. And that's why businesses go in a boom and bust cycle. They bang up against a glass ceiling and they can't understand why. I just can't push through this level of revenue and profit. It's because they don't have enough overheads to push through it. Simple as that. They haven't invested in the structure of the business.
The engine isn't big enough.
The engine just literally can't go that fast.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
That's all it is. Yep. And I think anytime you're feeling that, there will be an underinvestment in infrastructure. And obviously there's the fears that come with that, right? Like we said, you know, hey, but I can't afford it. I'm like, you can't afford not to, dude. Like, and when you do it, that will make you afford it.
That's exactly
the reason you can't afford it is because you don't have it.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. That's all. Like the move would make you afford it.
And I think one reframe here that is very powerful that we use with our members is, rather than asking how much will this cost, you know, like how much will an estimator cost, how much will a new digger cost, how much will, you know, operations person cost, whatever it is, you need to say, you know, what will this create in return? That's, and then an even better question is, what will it cost me if I don't invest this money? Yeah. That's the real question. And that cost is a financial cost, but it's more importantly, it's a time, energy, stress cost, opportunity cost that's lost. A whole bunch of opportunities you're never going to get because you're not spending making the investment. And another way to look at it is, you know, if you had $100,000 and you put it in the share market, you'd be happy to get 10% per annum forever. That's an okay result.
Pretty good return.
That's a good result. Now, if you invest $100,000 in a person, you're going to get way more than that.
Yeah.
Like way more. You think about an estimator, maybe it's 120, whatever it is, and they should make you, you know, 1.5 million in revenue a year.
Yeah.
How much profit is that?
Yeah.
It's lot more than $10,000.
I tell you what, like, it's a pretty good return. Like, it's absolutely decimating the return of the stock market. So
it's insane.
Like, yeah, it's quite funny though. We think about it quite differently. I think there's a couple of other like really key traps that I see people falling into mindset wise, especially when it's a hire, like an overhead hire. So, you know, one thing is you might have to invest in your overheads in terms of a larger premises or something. Usually that one's easier to get the head around. Or maybe it's a new system, like upgrading your job management software, your field software. Something like that is usually easier to get your head around. But with the hires, there's a few key things I see people fall into. Number one is the I can't afford it trap, which we've talked about. The second one is I don't know if there's enough work for that person trap. You know, like, so for example, it's like, hey, I only do like 10, 15 hours worth of admin per week. Like, well, am I going to hire someone full time? There's not that much to do. Or I only price work 20 hours per week and now I'm going to take someone on 40 hours to do that. Or, you know, I don't spend that much time managing jobs. So like, I'm going to bring on this 40-hour a week ops manager. Like, there's not that much for them to do. Two things to that. Number one is the reason you think there's not that much is because you are not doing everything you should be in that area. I guarantee it.
You're doing
a half-assed job of that. And this will improve tenfold when you have someone give it full attention. Second thing is that you also might not know the stuff you're not doing. So the admin one is classic. You're like, hey, look, I don't think there's that much to do. I'm like, no, there's just heaps of stuff you should be doing that you have no idea exists. And then the third thing is you're hiring for extra capacity. That's the point, is there should be more output in that area when you get this person than what you're currently doing. The point is that they enable growth, and with that growth comes more to do. So in this case, if you were only hiring to band-aid the amount of work you're doing right now, then yeah, like, it might not be a great idea, but that's not the point. The point is that you're up against one of those glass ceilings, you can't grow, you've taken on extra capacity, which allows extra output, which allows the growth, and then they pay for themselves. That's how this works. So that's the second mindset trap. Third mindset trap I see a lot, I don't even know how I'd train them. Yeah, you know, like, I don't, like, so again, I bring on like a, let's say a salesperson, and someone's like, cool, if I bring on a sales, where would I even start training this person? Or I bring on an admin person, so I suck at admin. Like, how am I going to train this person? So to that, I would say you won't have to. You bring on someone who's better than you at the skill. That's the whole point. If you were bringing on someone that needed training from you, they'll be a second-rate you at best. The idea here is you bring on a specialist who is a gun at the thing. They're probably going to be better than you at it. They'll probably teach you a thing or two. And actually that function will improve as a result of bringing someone better than you into the business. That's the idea.
And there's a thing there which is subtle as well, because sometimes people will hire someone who they know or who they think they can get cheap to do this job, and they are inevitably a person who's less capable than you are, and you do have to train them.
Yep.
And again, it's trying to save overhead. It's a false economy.
Yeah, you're actually still trying to save money doing that.
You're still trying to save
money.
You've
missed the point.
You've missed the point. The point is you hire in the expertise. And I know that our business is absolutely transformed once we started hiring people who are better than me, which wasn't hard.
Yeah, well, I was the first one.
That's right. Well, no, I think Damo, to be fair.
Oh, here
to
we
be
go.
Fair to the to old Damon. Yeah. But you were second.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'll take second.
Yeah.
Proud
yeah,
second.
So, yeah, that's yeah. Anyway, just
but you're 100% on the money. Like yeah. It's like, and I think the key is this is something we've repeated again and again. Pay the money, get someone who's better than you, and you'll watch them pay for themselves so fast. If you skint on the money and either don't do it, like we've talked about, or do it on the cheap and get someone who's actually not that good, then yeah, you will have to spend all this time training them, and you might not know how, and they'll never really perform, and they won't pay for themselves, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The whole point is to hire someone that knows more than you, which means you don't have to know how to train them or what they will do. They will tell you. You get a gun admin person, they'll come in and be like, the reason you thought this was 15 hours a week is here's all the stuff you had no idea you're not doing. This is how it's killing your business.
Yep.
Don't worry. I know how to do that, and I've got it sorted. And hey, you just sit back and watch the fireworks. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And the fourth one and last one that I see all the time is people saying, yeah, but what if I don't want to get that big? You know, what if I don't want to grow? What if I'm happy with where I'm at? And I think this is a really common problem, but it's fundamentally flawed. Like if you have a business where you have at least one employee, you are already committed to growth forever. Like there is only two places that are good to be. One of them is one-man band working for yourself, and honestly, in that case, I'd probably go work for someone else because you'll make about the same money in the long run, and you get vacations and sick leave and less stress. Or growing is the only other good place to be, and it doesn't matter where you're at, you still need to be growing. And the reason for that is because we really get into business for freedom, right? It's what we want. We want make more money, get more time. This equals freedom. The only way you actually have freedom is to have every function of your business work without you. Which means that you could go away for 6 months at the drop of a hat, come back, and not only did everything run smoothly, everything improved. New sales were made, new people were hired, things got better, people bought in new systems, all of this stuff happened without you. Now, the only way to actually get that is to have really key people that are really good in all of those key functions. The only place to get there is to be of a certain size anyway. The only way to keep those people, because again, these are smart, motivated, driven, skilled people. They're going to look in the mirror every morning. They don't go, I'm super happy with how my life is and I never want to get any better. They look in the mirror and go, I can't wait for my life to keep getting better, because they're that type of person. And they see your business as an opportunity, a vehicle to do that. Now, if you ever say to them, that's it, we're done, this is it, we're never getting better, there will be no more improvement, those people will leave.
Yeah, they're looking elsewhere.
And then you just get sucked right back into that position until you can rehire that role, only to recycle that process. And, you know, the hard part with that is that you never actually achieve the freedom either. And so I think it can be a bit scary because we think, I don't want to have to grow this forever. Good news is you don't have to. Like, you get to that point where you have these key people, you can be lying on the beach in Bora Bora, not even thinking about this. And other people are doing that work for you. But I think the key is that you have to understand that once you have set off on this journey, there is only forwards. There is not stop. It's not how it works.
Yeah, 100%. And wrapping this together is that the investment in the overheads does need to come ahead of the growth. You can't do it after the growth. That's not the way it works. It's the same as investing in shares or anything like that. No one's going to give you the return before you give them the money. They're not going to say, well, can I have my $10,000 in a year's time when I've seen that it's gone up, and then I'll give you the $100,000. Doesn't work that way.
No.
It's the same here. You've got to put the money in to get the result. You've got to hire before you're ready, ideally.
Yeah.
Stay on the front foot. You've got to build the systems early. You want to invest in the marketing before you need it. This is how you win in business, and that's about investing in the overhead structure, the right costs for your business so that you can grow, because growth does require the capacity first. That's very important. I think that's something that's not immediately obvious to business owners. And so many, I would say 90% of people just don't get that. And that's why they're stuck.
Yeah.
And so that's massively important. And at the end of the day, the goal of business is leverage. It's about how do I multiply my efforts? How do I get more than 40 hours of work happening? You know, another person is 80 hours. You add people and systems. Now your 40 hours is worth 200 hours, 1,000 hours, depending on how many people you have in your business. That's the whole goal of it. And that is what you need to do where you invest in your overheads.
And the more leverage you get, it gets to a point where maybe your 40 hours is worth 1,000 hours. And then suddenly your 10 hours is worth 1,000 hours. Suddenly your 2 hours is worth 1,000 hours. And so I think, again, if we look back to that concept of freedom, like you can be making amazing money, bugger all time, if you have great leverage, which requires infrastructure. And so one way or another, if that's what you want, I'm guessing it is, because it's probably why you got into business. It'd be why you listen to this podcast. If you want the freedom, you need the structure. Without the structure, there will never be the freedom. And you'll enjoy some success, but it'll be at your own expense. And that's not why we do this, right?
That's exactly right. So it is a mindset shift, but it's an absolutely critical one to make, to understand that overhead is investment. It's not cost. It needs to be made to get the result that you want.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've gone some good stuff, man. Should we land this point?
We should. So trying to run the cheapest possible business, it might feel safe, but in reality, it's one of the fastest ways to stay stuck. Because businesses that win aren't the ones with the lowest overheads. They're the ones that invest in the structure that allows them to grow. Cheap business stays small. Smart business, it builds capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Eames, for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.